Maybe you can get me a kind of plan. Yeah. Let's see. Try not to go and work, but they're going to pay your salary. $1 million a year. Correct.
Okay, let's bring the city council to order on for our meeting, Wednesday, August 1st, 2012. Carla, if you could please call the roll.
Leonard, Fritz,
here.
Fish,
here.
Adams, Saltzman,
here. Okay, a quorum is present, and we have a proclamation, which we should have done before I called the roll, but. I think it's okay. Go ahead and have Commissioner Fritz read a proclamation.
Do we have anybody from the National Postal Mail Handlers here? They're busy preparing for that convention, so I'm going to read the proclamation and then be presenting it at the convention next week. Whereas the National Postal Mail Handlers Union is convening at the downtown Portland Hilton Hotel to celebrate their 100-year anniversary of being a postal union and 100 years of serving all of our citizens, including those in the city of Portland and in our great state. And whereas the National Postal Mail Handlers Union of Oregon has faithfully carried its ongoing work and mission with dedication and firm commitment to process our nation's mail for the past century. And whereas the Mail Handlers of Oregon, Local 315 of the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, have faithfully performed their part in promoting and ensuring the continued success of Oregon's vote by mail, a model for voting that other cities and states can embrace. And whereas the National Postal Mail Handlers Union has chosen the city of Portland, Oregon, to hold their centennial celebration of their union, and by doing so has promoted our fair city and helped our local businesses remain successful and vibrant with their selection of Portland and their members' purchases while here. Now, therefore, I, Sam Adams, mayor of the city of Portland, Oregon, that would be the mayor who's on vacation, does hereby proclaim August 6th through 11th, 2012, to be National Postal Mail Handlers Week in Portland and encourages all residents to observe this week.
Welcome to the mail carriers. Okay. Commissioner Fritz, you also had a motion about evening meeting?
Thank you, President Saltzman. I have a motion to hold an evening meeting on August 27th at 6 p.m. at Riegler School to consider the Cully Plan.
Okay, I second that motion.
It has.
Carla, call the roll.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye. Okay. And now, Carla, if you could please read the first council communication.
Item 870, request of Crystal Ilinski to address council regarding Port of Portland.
Is Ilinski here? Okay. Please read the next communication.
Item 871, request of Mary Eng to address council regarding honor killing in Islam and military rape in USA forces.
Welcome. You could just give us your name, and you have 3 minutes.
Hi, my name is Mary Eng, and I would like to protest the reduction of our free speech to 3 minutes. I think some issues of communication might need more time. So in the future, I hope that that can be restored. The two issues I want to speak about are very important because I think one of the large impediments to American diagnosis of honor killing is a reluctance to issue any religious discrimination. And what is very important about understanding the system of honor violence is the way it can go on in secrecy in communities. So enclosed in your data packet are FBI reports on the first designation of honor violence coming about in the last 10 years. And understanding what goes on, women are considered property in some sects of Islam, And you all know that I'm an activist against torture in Guantanamo, and this is in no way constrained to be any kind of racism or religious intolerance. What we must look at, though, is that human rights violations of Islamic women are of concern to us. And in following up with the DNA rape evidence issue that I previously brought up, I spoke to your very excellent investigator, Kenneth Wadham, who said that one of the problems with the police investigation is lack of resources towards understanding the cultural aspects of this kind of crime. So I would urge the city to consider what our demographic population at risk is. Many other countries, it's also many genders. Men or gay men can often be subject to honor crime and honor violence. And then moving on to military rape, it will please you to note that the federal government is taking military rape more seriously than ever before. But still, here in Portland, we have veterans who suffer immense tragic consequences of military sexual trauma and post-traumatic stress disorder. We also have an unassessed epidemic of quasi-military rape in military contractors who have attempted to gag criminal proceedings out via gag clauses which prohibit rape victims from suing. And the most notable incident in that regard is Jamie Lee of the Jamie Lee Foundation, who very courageously sought to restore her legal rights to have a fair prosecution. On the positive side, we have very many excellent resources. My Duty to Speak, the AHA Foundation, Karma Nirvana, and we'd like to commend England for their heroic attempts to ban forced marriage, which often is child marriage and child rape. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay, Carla, could you please read the first time certain?
Did you want to take care of the consent agenda first?
Oh, okay. Does anybody wish to have any item removed from the consent agenda?
There was a request for 874 to be pulled for an amendment.
874? Okay. So we'll pull 874. And then nobody wishes to have anything pulled, and we'll please call the roll on the consent.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Okay, and that will do the first time certain.
Item 872, accept the report of the Chief Administrative Officer on the third quarterly report of the Technology Oversight Committee.
Welcome. We're pleased to have you for this is your third quarterly report.
Good morning. My name is Mark Granke. I'm the city's Chief Technology Officer. I'm joined today by three citizen members of the Technology Oversight Committee. We have Dave Lister, Ken Neubauer, and Doretta Schrock. Two other members, Ben Berry and Will Penfold, unfortunately were unable to attend today. On behalf of Jack Graham, the city's Chief Administrator Officer, we are submitting the third quarterly report of the Technology Oversight Committee. This report covers committee and project activity from April through June of this year. The report also provides a brief look back at the TOC's first year and looks forward to areas that are still in development. Looking back, the TOC is well on its way to formalizing its charge to provide early engagement on technology projects and to provide regular communication with council. To briefly remind you, the structure of the TOC includes a 5-member citizen oversight committee with staff support provided by OMF and technical support provided by the Bureau of Technology Services. Additionally, quality assurance firm's external review is required for all TOC projects. Looking forward, the TOC is beginning to grapple with managing its large workload as more projects come under their review. There is also continued work with bureaus to ensure they engage QA consultants early on in the beginning of their projects. Now I'd like to give you a high-level overview of the four projects the TOC is currently monitoring. If you want to follow along, details are on page 3 to 6 of your report. The first project is managed by the Bureau of Development Services and is called the Information Technology Advancement Project, which we refer to as ITAP. This is a complex project that will transform the way BDS does business by implementing a paperless permitting system. An RFP was published in February, and the selection committee narrowed down the proposals to the top three vendors. During the month of July, Bureau staff conducted site visits with jurisdictions who've implemented systems from the top three vendors. BDS anticipates selecting the final vendor and begin contract negotiations by the end of September. By this time, they should also have more accurate estimates on project budget. The affordable housing software project for the Portland Housing Bureau involves the purchase and implementation of a system that creates a single data repository for all of PHB's affordable housing programs. Staff training and go-live for the single-family module was successfully completed in June. Configuration is underway for the multifamily system with a scheduled go-live in September. Work is now just beginning on the asset management and loan servicing modules, which are also scheduled for go-live in September. The project remains on track and is meeting all its deadlines. The third project is related to the need for data storage in the city. BTS is addressing this through the Storage Area Network project. All equipment orders have been received. Initial migration dates were anticipated to be delayed because of equipment compatibility issues. However, the storage vendor recently resolved this problem. A quality assurance vendor has been monitoring progress, and BTS will begin working with stakeholders to schedule those migrations. Lastly, the TOC is also overseeing the Water Bureau's monthly billing project. As you may recall, the original project involved moving all customers from quarterly to monthly billing. However, that plan has been revised. Customers will now be encouraged to sign up for monthly billing. However, this billing frequency will be optional. The software vendor recently conducted their upgrade testing and found 27 defects that need to be resolved before moving forward. This will likely result in a delay to the project, but at this point, it's difficult to say how long. The project recently contracted with a quality assurance vendor who plans to deliver their first baseline assessment at the August TOC meeting. Bureau project staff is here if you have any questions about their specific projects. But first, I'd like to introduce Dave Lister, one of our TOC members, for comments before we open up for questions, and also offer other TOC members, if they have any comments, to share those with you today.
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks, Mark. I'm Dave Lister, citizen member of the TOC. I like citizen member. It kind of conjures up images of revolutionary Paris and guillotines and stuff like that. I'm sure I speak for us all when we say we're pleased and honored to be part of this. I think we've done some good work and continue to do good work for you. You know, any organization, public or private, the project management people are reluctant to admit when things are going off track. And that's not just government, that's everywhere. And I think having a friendly set of eyes looking from the outside in, which is what we try to do, has been very helpful. I think we've identified some issues and maybe averted a train wreck or two. So I think this group is working. I think it's doing what you intended. Not speaking for the committee, but just a couple of observations from me personally through my involvement in the committee. One thing I've noticed historically with the city is that budgets are allocated for a technology acquisition, and that piece of technology is acquired and implemented, and then it is utilized until it is antiquated, outmoded, and basically dead. And then it's time to replace that piece of technology with a new piece of technology. So it's a kind of a scrap and replace method of dealing with these situations. But the fact is that technology marches on daily. It doesn't stop. It doesn't wait for version 2. It doesn't wait for version 3. So I guess the point I'm trying to make is, in budgeting considerations going forward, I think the Bureau should have an identifiable IT budget. It would vary by Bureau, so that the existing systems can be enhanced progressively and logically over time, if possible, rather than running one type of technology until it's totally trashed and then going in to replace it in its entirety. Scrap and replace is inherently more risky than continual upgrades and modifications. And the second observation that I wanted to make is I realize that Portland voters have rejected any changes to our form of government since we were parking Model Ts down on Front Avenue. But with technology, we do need an overall integrated framework that covers all the bureaus. It covers the entire city. Technology projects that are siloed are not necessarily a good thing because we end up with duplicate efforts and duplicate bureaus of things that really ought to be integrated. And as I understand it now, Mark and his excellent staff at BTS, they are a sounding board for all technology acquisitions within the city, but advisory only. So even if something is totally inconsistent with the overall direction of the city's IT, that doesn't preclude a bureau from going that direction if they choose to go that direction. So from what I've seen, I think it would be helpful for Mark and his folks maybe statutorily to have a little more authority on these types of acquisitions. You want this job, buddy?
did he write your talking points?
I did not pay him.
Maybe some kind of a, not a firm veto, but it's really important that all these systems be integrated and work together citywide, regardless of who's running what bureau and who's in charge of which little piece. So that's my soapbox. But beyond that, I'm sure I'm speaking for all of us when I say thanks for having us. We enjoy doing this work. I think it's valuable, and I think it's helpful. And I don't think we're going to see another water bureau billing problem anytime soon. Not yours.
Thank you.
That's all.
Can I just ask a question of our esteemed guest? You said that human nature being what it is, people don't like to acknowledge mistakes. But in terms of the effectiveness of this oversight body, have you encountered any resistance to doing your job properly?
No, not at all. In fact, I think the bureau people have been great, which is not what I expected, frankly. I expected when you had a group of outsiders coming in and getting their nose in to projects that your people have been doing, that there might be some pushback, and there really hasn't. I think the value has been in us looking at things with a little bit different perspective and being able to say, well, you know, we see where your assumptions are and why and how you're arriving at those conclusions, but have you considered this, that, or the other? And that's, I think, Commissioner Fish, where the value comes.
The other question I wanted to ask you, because you have a unique perspective, David, working in the private sector, looking at technology, and now you're providing oversight in the public sector. Based on the experience you've had to date, is there any conclusion you would draw about whether the public sector is more at risk than the private sector for the kinds of things we read about all the time in the paper about either cost overruns or technology snafus or even this issue of compatibility?
You know, I'd like to get Ken's input on that one, but my observation would be it depends on the size of the corporate entity. Larger corporations, huge corporations are full of overrun problems and so on. Smaller companies, not so much. And the larger ones like to bury those in their P&Ls so the stockholders don't see them. But it does happen. It's not a public sector always screws up, private sector never does kind of situation.
Ken, did you want to?
Yeah, Ken Neubauer. I guess I would like to add, because it is part of what he said, by ignoring some pieces of technology for an extensive period of time, 10, 15 years, the people that maybe brought that technology in might have retired. So when you go to upgrade that technology or replace that technology, you've lost some of that expertise. Those people have left the organization or the company. It becomes much more difficult to address those pieces of technology when it sits for that long of a period of time. We've experienced that in my company, where we have not touched technology because the status quo is to you buy it, you run it. If it runs great, you tend to forget about it until at some point it quits working, it breaks, or you can't get support for it anymore. And then you're forced to touch it, forced to look at it, forced to do something with it, and it becomes much more complicated and costly to do it at that point in time. That's what we've experienced in the private side. I'd also like to comment about, have we received any resistance from the bureaus that we work with. One of the things that I wanted to make sure was clear is on this report, it ends at the end of June. And if you look at the sand project, there were some concerns about some issues that existed at that time. At the time that this report was put together, I've actually been in communication with the Bureau every other day, per se, to see what their progress has been in resolving some of those issues. This particular issue that they have, they actually have resolved at this time.
That's good to hear. I was going to ask a question about that.
Thank you.
Greta, did you wish to add anything?
I just echo what Dave and Ken have said about Doretta Schrock, sorry, about the way the committee is functioning. I've been really favorably impressed, and also all the bureau people and Mark's staff in particular. Everybody's just been fabulous in terms of bending over backwards to try and get us everything we say we need, and they've worked really hard. And there's been none of this staff trying to steer the committee kind of stuff that you see sometimes. It's been extremely functional, and I've been really pleased with it.
It's good to hear.
So I wanted to thank you all for your service and for being here today, and particularly for you're going to be reviewing the request for proposal for the 311 system. And I think that speaks to your point, David, of having every bureau in the city on the same page in terms of the technology, if not exactly the same, at least meshing into a new system. So I thank you for helping us with that project, and it's going to be, I think, very interesting. I'm glad you're going to be involved in it.
And I would just like to say, in regards to your points, Dave Lister, that Mark's role may only be advisory in some IT projects. Others, he clearly is the person in charge. But
make him a czar.
Yeah. But, I mean, the part of the reason we... Part of the reason this council created the Technology Oversight Committee was for you to be able to come directly to us and raise any concerns. And, then it is clearly in front of us. And, this council needs to act as a council on a lot of these projects and their budgets and approval. So it's trying to get it beyond just the purview of the commissioner in charge is kind of what you're all about by bringing this to us on a quarterly basis. We can't deny we didn't know. Well, I'm glad to hear the storage area network's problem's been resolved. Any further questions?
I move the report.
Does anybody wish to testify on this?
No one signed up.
Okay. It's been moved.
We have second.
Okay. Moved and seconded. Please call the roll.
Leonard?
Thank you. All right.
Fritz.
Well, Wilfred Pinfold, Ben Berry, Dave Lister, Ken Neubauer, and Doretta Schrock, you are putting in an enormous amount of time on this, and I greatly appreciate it. I think one thing we might need to look at moving forward is whether there needs to be a second committee to help with your work, because it could quickly become a full-time job, and I know you put a lot of effort into this. So thank you, and you've made some significant differences already. So thank you very much, and thank you to Mark for helping to oversee and staff this. Aye.
Fish?
Well, first, I just want to say I'm in the process of shifting from PC to Mac, and I wonder if we could add that to your list because I could use some oversight. Thank you for your service and the reports we get. They're outstanding. And to Commissioner Saltzman's point about your point, David, I think we ought to have a more formal mechanism for ensuring that we don't inadvertently add incompatible systems or do thing in one bureau that's short-sighted. Even within the commission-style form of government, we do have protocols, some in code, some in practice. I mean, at budget time, we submit our budget request, the mayor does the proposed. When we have a hiring freeze, we have to get permission to hire a position when there's a freeze. On HR matters, labor matters, we go to a centralized person and get guidance, and that gets other eyes on it. So there are protocols which require us to get out of our silos and consider the system-wide impact, and I think you make an excellent point. So I think it's something that Dan and I will want to take a look at to see whether this is a code issue or just a protocol issue. But it makes perfect sense to me. And by expanding that conversation, we make sure we don't inadvertently make short-sighted mistakes, particularly around compatibility. So thank you, and thank you for your presentation, as always. It's great work. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I want to thank the Technology Oversight Committee members, both those present and not present today, for doing outstanding work. Thank Mark Grinke and his office for providing good staff work. And, you know, as I said a minute ago, the part of the reason you're in existence is to make sure that we, as a council, are aware of IT projects and concerns that may emanate, and so that they're not buried somewhere else and only coming to us on a vote or on the consent agenda or something like that. This is your role, is to review these projects and report to us quarterly on their status, and you're doing a great job. So thank you. Aye. Okay, the report is adopted. Thank you all. And we move to the regular agenda now.
We should read the title for 873 and then announce it's rescheduled.
Okay.
Item 873, refer amendments to the City of Portland Charter, Chapter 5, Fire and Police Disability, Retirement, and Death Benefit Plan to the November 2012 general election ballot. And
are you going to make the announcement?
That has been rescheduled to August 8th, 2012 at 5 p.m. time certain.
Okay, thank you. And now we'll go to the regular agenda, item 883.
Amend contract with the Institute for Conflict Management, Inc. to provide additional funding and extended facilitation support service for the West Hayden Island Plan and provide for payment.
Okay, this is an emergency. Do we have somebody here to explain this?
Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Eric Engstrom. I'm with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. You may recall that in July of 2010, you adopted Resolution 36805, which sent us, the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, down the path of preparing for you a concept plan for the possible development of a marine terminal on West Hayden Island with up to 300 acres of impact and at least 500 acres of open space. Since that time, we've been working with an advisory committee to hire consultants, work through a list of additional studies that you had requested. The advisory committee was involved in the hiring and scoping of those reports, and as well as reviewing them. We've now largely completed the work plan in your original scope of work from that resolution, but only recently have we released the first draft for advisory committee consideration of the potential zoning and annexation agreement. Our next steps will include continued advisory committee discussion of that initial draft and then going into the Planning and Sustainability Commission this fall. The advisory committee recently asked for additional consideration of public health impacts of the potential marine terminal development, and so the Bureau has embarked on an additional scope of work with the Multnomah County Health Department. All of this implies a little more advisory committee discussion than we had originally scoped in that resolution, and so at this time we're coming to you to ask to amend the contract with our advisory committee facilitator to give us a few more months to complete that discussion.
Okay. Any questions?
Can I just get a clarification of where the $25,000 is coming from?
From the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability's general planning, comprehensive planning budget.
Further questions? Okay, thanks, Eric. Does anybody wish to testify on this?
No one else signed up.
Okay, so this is emergency ordinance. Please call the roll.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
It's definitely worth time taking the time to do it right, and I appreciate the facilitation services. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, yes, I also appreciate the hard work of the facilitator. I know he's doing a good job. Aye. Okay, the ordinance is approved. Could read item 884.
Authorize an intergovernmental agreement with Clackamas County for the housing of a grant-funded surveillance equipment.
Anybody here to talk to us about this? Well, Hello.
Hello, my name is Officer Norman Staples with the Portland Police Bureau. And if council recalls, approximately a year and a half ago, there was two buffer zone protection program grants brought to the council, totaling approximately $400,000 for a Homeland Security grant. In that grant, areas of the city and the surrounding areas was designated as interests for the federal government for law enforcement to do proactive and reactive enforcement for those sites. Part of that area included the Water Bureau and in Clackamas County. And in regards to the grant, items that Clackamas County felt that they needed to do proactive and reactive law enforcement to their responsibilities, they requested thermal imaging devices, excuse me, for areas that were not well lit or they were unable to put surveillance equipment in that area. And in the grant, that the two requested items were thermal imaging devices, and as of now, we have purchased those through the grants and are awaiting approval to send those items over to Clackamas County. There is no cost to the city of Portland for this.
Any questions?
So these devices will be used in rural areas rather than looking into homes?
Yes. The devices are unable to look into residences or any sort of buildings anyways based on their technology. The area that Clackamas County is using these for is a rural area, specifically the Bull Run area.
So this is primarily used for our watershed, the Bull Run watershed?
Yes, sir.
Any further questions? Thank you, Officer Staples. Does anybody wish to testify on this?
Yes, we have one person signed up, Joe Walsh.
Okay, Mr. Walsh. Just give us your name, and you have 3 minutes.
My name is Joe Walsh, and I'm speaking for Individuals for Justice and also the Oregon Progressive Party. We are in general against surveillance equipment. We are in general against you making deals with Homeland Security. There doesn't seem to be enough information that's going on here. The only question that I heard asked was, would this primarily be used in the Water Department? I think that came from Commissioner Fritz. We have great concern that you are going down the road in almost every avenue of surveillance. And since we don't have any money, well, maybe we could borrow some from the Salzman family when they make their money from TriMet. We're asking you to stop. Just stop the surveillance. Who are you surveilling on? You're surveilling on the citizens of Portland. Either whether it's in Chinatown or it's in the Water Department. You guys seem to be addicted to surveillance. Join the FBI. So that's our position. We don't like the idea of surveillance. We don't like the expenditures of funds, and we don't care if it comes from Homeland Security or the FBI. You're making deals with the devil. Stop it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Walsh.
President Salzman, I have one more question from the officer, if you wouldn't mind coming back.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. What's the policy regarding records on this, and how do we know that it'll be just in the Bull Run watershed?
Well, let me clarify something first. This type of surveillance is not recorded or documented surveillance. The equipment is unable to do so. Basically, what it is it's a thermal imaging device that allows you to see at night. So in a wooded area like Bull Run, where it's primarily cold and dark, what you will see is you will see heat signatures of animals or people. And that's all it does. It's unable to record anything. There's no storage of any sort of information. The device is unable to do so. So it basically gives you the ability to see heat signatures at night in an area where you can't. So if you're in a wooded area and scan an area looking for, if a person is walking through the Bull Run area where they're committing the crime of trespassing, and you can't see them with your naked eye at night, you can see them with this device. And that's all it does, is it enhances your night vision capabilities.
And it can tell the difference between a person and a deer?
The operator has to interpret that. So you will see an outline of some sort of heat signature, depending on your distance and any sort of other objects that are in the way. You can see if something's moving. It's the operator's responsibility to investigate to see what that is. This device doesn't see through trees. It has a difficulty seeing through solid devices in the sense of bushes or plant vegetation. It can't see through anything solid. So unless you're going up to investigate what it is, you're not going to be able to determine exactly what it is through the device.
So where are we going, as Clackamas County, going to be using it specifically? Because the Bull Run is mostly trees.
The grant was written for the Bull Run area. So that's the primarily the responsible thing for the device is to be used there. And that's what it's used, that's what the grant was written for to be used. Nothing prohibits it from being used in other sort of areas. With Bull Run or with the Water Bureau or anything else for Clackamas County, but the primary responsibility for the device is Bull Run and its watershed area.
So there isn't anything in the contract that says that they can't use it in populated areas of
that is correct.
Clackamas County?
Yes.
So how do we know that they're going to use it in Bull Run only?
I'm sorry, I can't hear.
How do we know that they're only going to use it in the Bull Run?
We don't. It's the contract, the grant was... The way that the grant's written is it doesn't say it can only be used for a certain area. It says it just has to be used for that area when the need arises.
And did we ask for the grant with that in mind?
Yes, that was the grant that was brought to council, both of them.
Thank you.
Okay. This is an emergency ordinance. Carla, please call the vote.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz.
I am concerned that we are proliferating a lot of surveillance and have had many of these coming to council. I do believe, I'm convinced by the police that these will be used in as intended in the Bull Run. I would like to see tighter contract language in the future so that we're sure that we get more certainty, especially when we're going to partner agencies, because it's still the metro area where this surveillance is proliferating. But I will support this. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye. Okay, the ordinance is approved. Carla could read item 885. Oh, second reading. It's vote only. Sorry.
Add Oregon 529 College Savings Plan to the list of organizations eligible to use the City Employee Payroll Deduction System. Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Jennifer, thanks for bringing this forward. I my only regret is we didn't do this earlier. But as someone who is a participant in the 529 plan and has seen it over the years come out of its doldrums and now come to full health, I think this is a great option for city employees to participate. Aye.
Saltzman.
Good work. Aye. Are you Ms. Zielinski?
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay, sorry. Okay, then we stand.
I just want to clarify, apparently I didn't speak clearly when moving to have the hearing on August 29th. So I want to just clarify that was my motion. I don't know if we have to vote on it again.
Okay, so we stand adjourned until...
Pulled item still?
Oh, I'm sorry, pulled item. Did everybody go? The pulled item. If you could read that item.
874 is... authorize a grant agreement with the Police Activities League of Greater Portland to continue the PAL Youth Football League after school hours program for at-risk gang-affected youth and their families from July through November 2012.
Good morning. Clay Neal from the Mayor's Office. The reason this was pulled was because OMF requested some changes about the mechanism of where the funds are coming from. It was just unclear in the original ordinance. We have substitutes with the amendments redlined for you. This is two groups of funds. One is the special appropriation that was approved in the 12-13 budget process of $35,000 to Police Activities League. And the second is the remainder of funds that was in the Office of Youth Violence Prevention budget at the end of fiscal year 11-12 that we've requested, the Mayor's Office has requested to have reappropriated in the fall bump. So it's a note for that to happen.
Move the amendment.
Move. motion. Is there a second? I'll second it. Okay. Any questions or discussion? Does anybody wish to testify?
I do have a question.
Okay.
It seems that the now therefore C says to take it from general fund contingency in
right.
a full bump and not from...
That's correct. There's a note from the 11-12 budget season, fiscal year, that the Office of Youth Violence Prevention had an over had a remainder of approximately $35,000, and the request is to reappropriate that back to this use, which would have been the original intention for those funds.
So instead of being a carryover that went
exactly
to PAL, it goes back into contingency.
Yeah,
and comes out
unfortunately.
Okay, thank you for clarifying.
Okay, Carla, please call the roll.
This is on the amendment.
Oh, yes, on the amendment.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye. Okay, and now the roll.
Anybody wants to testify?
Anybody wish to testify? Okay, nobody's there. Please call the roll on the final ordinance.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
I appreciate the work to get this funds for PAL. Good organization. Aye. Okay, now we stand adjourned until Wednesday, August 8th at 5 p.m.